Got questions? Jesus says, come here. Let's talk about it. Let's do that on Key Life.
That's Steve Brown. He's no guru, but he loves Jesus Christ. He loves the Bible, and he loves to teach it. The program is Key Life, and here's Steve with a teaching for today. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to Matthew 11, 2 through 6. We're kind of resting in that text as we deal with questions. No. We do that on Wednesday and Friday, answer questions. We're talking about the fact of questions, and when things are bad and they hurt, there are always questions. Is that ungodly? Is that unchristian? Now, the bottom line answer after all these days this week is that no, it's not. If it's a proper attitude, you really wonder, it's okay to ask God why. You know, people who are really Christian and stuff are always telling me, I'll say, well, did you ask God why? And they'll say, no. I said to God, why not? No one's like, yeah. Man, you're out of touch. I'm not buying a used car from you. There's something wrong with you, man. And I shouldn't do that, because there are some people who have that kind of depth, who really are that way. But you're not, and I'm not. So I have suggested, bottom line, that it's okay. We talked about, in looking at that passage from Matthew, that Jesus didn't reject John because of his questions. He said, you go tell John what you see. In other words, he answered his questions. Go tell John. So let's look at that text. Let me say some things today about the questions that you asked that are a little bit more detailed. Go back and read the things that Jesus said. He said that John was a prophet. He then said that John, now this is, and you might want to open your Bible and check it out, to be like the Bereans, to make sure that what I'm saying is true. It's Matthew 11, first half of that chapter is where the whole story is. He said to the people, after the questioners came, John is the man. John is something else. In fact, there hadn't been a prophet bigger than John to come along. And he said this, no one born of woman is greater than John. We want to say, now wait a moment, I can understand how you would accept the questions, but to say that, say all of those things about John is simply public relations blunder. Don't ever use someone as a model who's making a mess of it. Wait until John gets his act together. Then hold him up as an example of faithfulness and belief, man. Don't put him on television till he's got a testimony that's successful, and he's got money, and he's healthy. But that's not what Jesus did, and he doesn't do that with us either. Jesus not only accepted, listen to me, he affirmed John the Baptist. Have you noticed in the Gospels how Jesus appealed to the prostitutes and the lowlifes? Was it because they needed him more than the church folks did? No. He appealed to them because they knew they needed him. The only requirement Jesus ever made for his presence and help anytime, any place, was our honest, verbalized need. And John was no exception. Have you ever noticed that the most rebellious child in the family is often the most loved? I have a friend who has three children, two of whom have done quite well. One is a pastor, the other has a really great business. One serves God, and the other serves filthy lucre, and you need both. Those two have never given their parents a moment trouble. The third, Jimmy's been nothing but trouble. For almost 2 years, Jimmy hasn't called home. His parents have no idea where he is. They lose sleep over it. I once asked my friend which child was his favorite. He said, Steve, that's a crazy question. I can't answer that question. I love them all. Then his eyes welled up with tears. And he said, Steve, I do love Jimmy so much, and I miss him. Too often we think God won't love us if we bring our questions to him, so we allow the questions about our broken roads to drive us away from him. That was one of Job's problems. It flip over to Job the 13th chapter, verses 20 through 21. In the midst of all of that stuff that Job is going through, the hard things, Job says this, only two things do not do to me. Then I will not hide myself from you. Withdraw your hand from me, and let not the dread of you make me afraid. That is so good. Listen to that again. Only two things do not do to me. The first, and then I will not hide myself from you. Don't withdraw your hand from me. And don't let me get so afraid of you that I run from you. Jesus told a story, this is Luke 14, about a man who invited his friends to a dinner party. All the guests gave excuses about why they couldn't come. This is a quote in the 21st verse. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring here the poor and the maimed, the lame and the blind." Now that story shows that Jesus is attracted to people you wouldn't expect. He loves those who struggle. The Christian who says in the midst of a lot of pain and suffering, "I'm just praising the Lord, everything is wonderful," is missing an opportunity to experience the great depths of God's unconditional love. As we have seen, we live in a fallen world. Things are not good. Life isn't for sissies. Christians who don't have questions about the hurt and the tragedy of this world are often shallow and superficial. I don't know about you, but I'm comforted in knowing that when I bring my questions to Jesus, he doesn't turn me away. In fact, he even affirms me as being valuable because his son paid such a great price for me. You got questions? Jesus says, "Come here, child. Let's talk about it." Now, when John came to Jesus, Jesus answered the questions too, or at least almost all the questions. Jesus didn't go into a long dissertation on the incarnation, how God could be in man, the fact that he was outside of time, the Father, and Jesus had entered into a linear timeline. I mean, he didn't do that. John would have said, "Say what?" He didn't explain to John about eternal life and why it's viable and rational doctrine, but Jesus did answer enough of the questions to comfort John. Jesus reminded John about the prophecies in Isaiah with regard to the Messiah's giving sight to the blind, making the lame walk, cleansing the lepers, making the deaf hear. If you want to look that up, you might want to jot these verses down. Isaiah 29:18, Isaiah 35:5-6, Isaiah 61:1-3. Jesus said to John's disciples, you go, you tell John what you've seen. Jesus gave John enough answers to make John's pain bearable, and he does that for us. Now, he doesn't give us all the answers, but enough. When I'm facing some hard stuff, and I think I can no longer believe in a loving and caring God, Jesus sends some angels to me. He tells them, you go tell Steve. He says, "Look, I've noticed Steve is kind of tottering there in the... You know, a lot of people listen to him, and I don't want him to become a Buddhist." And then he says to the angels, "You go tell Steve." At one time, I thought that anyone who believed in the Christian faith had to leave their mind on the doorstep, and then some friends opened the door of rational Christianity to me. I remember how surprised I was that intelligent people believed in Christ. I was shocked to discover that the Christian worldview was the only one that made intellectual sense. If I'd listened then, I would have heard Jesus bend over, and those people who loved me then and took time with me were angels. Said to the angels, "I've been watching Steve. You go tell Steve." I remember when our daughter Jennifer became sick and the doctor gave me some very bad news. Devastated. I was unable to pray for myself. I asked some friends to pray. The doctor called next morning, and he was surprised that that Jennifer was so well. And you know what happened? Jesus looked down, and he saw I was in trouble. And he didn't answer all of my questions, but he said, you go tell Steve. And not too long ago, I was having a pity party, thinking I couldn't go on comforting people when I wasn't very comfortable myself. My own rope was broken. In the midst of my depression, I got a call from a friend in another state. "Stevie," said, "you've been on my mind a lot today. I've been praying for you. Have I ever told you how your ministry has touched my life and made a big difference?" When He hung up. I thought I heard Jesus say to an angel, "Hey, I've been watching Steve. You go tell Steve." If you'll take the time to look carefully when you're going through a hard time, you'll see that the broken rope is not the only reality. There's light at both ends of the tunnel. If you remember the light, the times he said yes to your prayers, the times when you have known his presence, the way he's helped you help others, the hurts he has healed, the times he has bound up your broken heart, you'll find enough encouragement to keep on keeping on in the dark. Now, you're not going to get answers. I mean, you just don't get all the answers to all your questions. It irritates some of you guys when we're answering questions and we say there's a simple answer to that. We don't know. Sometimes you don't get the answer, but there's enough. There's enough. I read a lot of the letters you guys write us, and we get thousands of letters each month. And then they print out a prayer list, and we pray. And sometimes I go over that prayer list, and boy, there's so much hard stuff. And I want you to be still. Because Jesus knows, and he turns to his angels and says, "Hey, you go tell them. You think about that. I'm in." Hey, listen, do you have the booklet we're offering, From Panic to Power? It's a hard world when you're confused and searching and doubtful. What do you do about it? Well, this booklet will help. Maybe you got a friend going through a tough time. You could order it and give it as a gift to your friend. Tell them you spent $5 for it when actually you got it free. It's absolutely free. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box, 5000 Maitland, Florida, 32794. Key Life Canada, Post Office Box, 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And do me a favor when you write, be sure and give us the call letters, or you call. Give us the call letters of this great station. And you could do me another favor. If you pray about it, and you're supposed to, help us out financially. I promise we don't waste money. I mean, we squeeze every dime, and we're faithful about that. But when you help us, you help so many others. You can charge it to MasterCard, Visa, Discover Card. Include a gift in your envelope. Be as generous as you possibly can. And for any gift of any size, when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching from Matthew 6, Praying Properly, How to Tap into the Power of Prayer. Hey, I got to go. Always include the call letters of this station when you write or call. And Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.